Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is Wednesday, November 22nd, a day early because of Thanksgiving. The 49ers are playing tomorrow night, so I just want to be able to relax and enjoy that. It's been a busy day, though, despite Matt having work off and me having a very slow day. We're in charge of the pies for our family dinner tomorrow, family lunch. It's Thanksgiving dinner, right? Even though we eat it at lunchtime.
It's a good question, actually. I don't know. Thanksgiving meal, I guess. Because usually, yeah, we do lunch because then we sit around and then we get hungry again and can pick at leftovers and things.
But. Yeah. Okay, for Thanksgiving, we're in charge of the pies. So Matt made an apple and a blueberry pie. I made making a pumpkin cheesecake. So we'll see how those turn out. But I'm truly exhausted.
Yeah. No, desserts are tricky, and there's a lot of steps and a lot of prep work and stuff.
And so. It's so exact.
It is exact. Yeah. No, we mentioned this earlier, but like cooking, I think we're both better at cooking than baking because you can just see what's happening and sort of know what to do. Baking, you just kind of put it in the oven. It's like, well, I hope I don't open the door too early or too late.
It's baking is more of a science, where cooking is more of an art. You need a little free ball it a little bit. So. Yeah.
So anyway, should be a good time though. I love apple pie, so that's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, I love cheesecake, so I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, that's the nice thing about cooking is you get to do what you want to do.
You just get to pick, exactly.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot to talk about. We're watching the Warriors-Suns game, just watched Boston-Milwaukee, and we're honestly unsure of how the NBA in-season tournament works, so we'll probably talk about that a little bit. Some big games in both the NFL and college coming up. The Eagles had a massive game this past Monday. We'll probably start with basketball. Well, we'll start with the ick of the week, of course.
Got to start with the ick.
And then try to figure out the NBA in-season tournament together, and then we'll talk some football. Here's the ick of the week. Just to recap for anyone new, an ick is something that turns a girl off. There are some I found amusing, so we've been keeping track of them and pronouncing a new ick each week. This week's, if a guy is chasing a ping pong ball.
But to be fair, that you cannot feel less athletic than chasing a ping pong
ball. It is awkward.
Yes, for sure. It is awkward. Absolutely.
Now, when I see a girl chasing a ping pong ball, I don't think, oh, I never will want to kiss her ever again, and I'm unattracted to her. But I do think that's not her best look.
Yeah. Now, I think what I think is delightful about this is I'm just imagining playing ping pong with this girl, and then the ball, you know, goes behind. It's like, well, that's the end of the game. Yeah.
Not getting that.
Yeah.
Just wait for it to be a dead stop. It is, because it's like so small, you can't bend down all the way because then it'll go further away from you. So you have to like kind of crouch and lunge at it.
Yes, yeah.
It's tough.
And that I think, you know, do a sudden quick bend or like a dive after, that would be worse than a bend chase.
The time we were playing in San Diego was tough because we were playing outside and the wind was going.
Was a factor.
So it threw our, you know, tracking abilities off.
Yes, yeah. Outdoor ping pong, not great.
So that's the end of the week. Next week is a pretty funny one. So I'm excited to share that with you.
I'm looking forward to hearing more of what I've been doing wrong.
Yeah. Now, as far as the NBA goes, I think we have to start with the Warriors jerseys. They're like, they say like San Francisco and like some weird, like, it's not cursive, it's like curvy. It's not bent, it's not in a straight line, it just seems to be a random pattern. Any jersey with the name below the numbers instead of on top, I'm not going to be a fan of.
For sure.
I have no idea what's going on with the Warriors jerseys. I like the idea of them saying San Francisco, other than it's just still giving a middle finger to Oakland, and I feel like they've suffered enough.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's just, yeah, the A's are leaving now. It's just like, we gotta leave Oakland alone.
Yeah, the A's are gone, which, when it was breaking news, I was like, wasn't this breaking news like 4 months ago?
Yeah.
Like, didn't we know about it already?
I mean, you obviously know this, but I guess it's just official now. So I thought they were talking about it. I didn't realize they were quite this far down the road. So it actually was a bit of a surprise to me.
The Las Vegas Athletic. It's tough because Oakland, actually, we talked about in a World Series top five a few weeks ago. Oakland was number three.
Yeah, as far as
World Series championships.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
Or tied for fourth or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, but they're in the top five. Like, they're, I know now not great, and a lot of that is the owner. But they're historically a very good franchise with a lot of championships.
Yeah, and it is, you know, and it's a great sports town. They really love their teams over there. And it's just, I'm sure they would love the A's more if they could just, you know, invest more money in the team. And so it is frustrating to see an owner leave because the city won't invest money in the team when the owner won't invest money in buying players that are going to be able to win. So it is interesting. I'm curious about the A's going to Vegas. I don't know that they fit the ethos of Vegas quite so well as the Raiders or even a team like the Golden Knights. And I'm also, you know, if the owner just starts buying good players, that's going to be incredibly frustrating. And if they don't, it's hard for me to imagine people are going to be going to games with all the things they can do in Vegas.
Yeah, I wonder where the ballpark's going to be.
Yeah.
Have they announced where it's going to be?
Not that I've... I mean...
Because it can't be too close to the strip because there's not, like, a ton of room.
Right, yeah. I mean, they can't have announced, like, because they just barely announced it this week. It would have been kind of a real slap in the face if they would announce where the stadium was going to be before they announced the team was moving.
Because I've seen, like, renderings, but I don't know how official those were. And it might have had low location, but I didn't pay attention to it.
Right.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So when I lived in San Francisco, like, was that 10 years ago? Not 8 years ago?
It was a while ago.
While we were in college.
Yeah. So
it was a while you came ago. Out and we went to, I think it was just like the Warriors store. Like, something at the Warriors Arena, but it was in the same parking lot as the Coliseum where the A's and the Raiders play. And it's kind of crazy. Less than 10 years after that, none of those teams are there. And three of them were in the same parking lot 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're gone?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's a really cool town, too, which is a bummer. I mean, a lot of great food is over there.
Oakland does have really good food.
Yeah, really good food. You know, it's just right by the bay. It's Berkeley is essentially in Oakland, which is a really great college town. So
underrated college town because it's like the most expensive college town in the country.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know that I could afford to go there myself.
It's very cool. Yeah. Very fun though.
Yeah. So yeah,
Berkeley's great.
So bummer for that community. And so I don't know. It's just Vegas doesn't seem like a baseball place, you know?
No, it doesn't. Well, I don't know the stats, but I feel like the Raiders are like the Chargers in the sense that they don't get a lot of home games.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think there is a decent little Raiders fan base there, but I think that's just because the Raiders have fans all over the country. I still think the Raiders should be in Los Angeles, and like the Rams could have gone to Vegas or something like that. But Los Angeles is still a Raiders city to me.
Yeah, that would be more interesting to me. Yeah, the Las Vegas Chargers maybe. So yeah, Las Vegas Rams could work. So
yeah, Chargers could have gone to Vegas.
Yeah,
instead of L.A.
Right.
No one cares. Like, are they? They're not even in the top 10 of like priority for like LA sports fans.
The Chargers?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Like, we have to count it out, but we've done this before. They're not even close.
No. Yeah, for sure. Because there's, it's crazy how many teams there are in Los Angeles.
Well, yeah, every professional sport has two, plus a lot of women's leagues as well. So three or four
now. Yeah.
And then if you're counting men and women's sports.
Mm-hmm.
It is crazy. Now, sticking with basketball, did you figure out anything on the in-season tournament? Because we were talking about this before the show. And we talked a lot about it last time as far as why aren't they to the divisions. Our next question is, if there's six groups, three in each conference, who advances to go to semifinals?
Okay. Well, I can start typing it now. I did not...
See if you can find the answer.
Okay, perfect. While I'm going this over with this, I'll just say to you, like, this is another good reason why the NBA needs 32 teams, because tournaments and playoff structures need to be divisible by four. And so if you have 30 teams, you can't divide 30 by four, and so you end up with this weird situation with six groups. and then you either need 8 or 4 people in Vegas. So I'm going to read through 8 teams. So it's the best team in each group plus 2 wild cards. So the team from
Are the wild cards?
The team from each conference with the best record in group play games that finished second in their group. So it's still based on group record. It's not based on regular season record. Although now that I'm saying it, I feel like if it's a wild card anyway, then it might as well just be a regular season record.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Yeah. So knockout rounds are single elimination quarterfinals.
Yeah. Are in the home site, right? Because only 4 go to Vegas.
It's not. I can't even see Vegas mention. So yeah, I'm not going to take the time to read through that because it's going to be a little bit tricky to find.
Now, expansion wise, if we do expand, I know I'm jumping all over the place, but it'd be Vegas and Seattle, right, for the NBA.
Yeah, I think for sure.
It'd have to be, right?
Yeah, I think the NBA would very much like to get into Vegas. Maybe this is just because they host all those college basketball tournaments, but Vegas seems more like a basketball place than even really a football city. You know, and maybe that's just because of so much of Vegas happens inside, but it strikes me as a basketball city. So I think that the NBA would actually do better than even, you know, maybe the Raiders have.
Yeah, well, the Knights have gone super popular, which is crazy. Because the West Coast hockey is not popular compared to the East Coast.
Sure.
Obviously.
Yeah. Right.
Now, I view Vegas like Miami in the sense that Alex Rodriguez, but he said Miami's not a sports town, it's an entertainment town. So that's why, like, the Hurricanes get no one at their games unless, like, Florida State or, like, Notre Dame are coming into town.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, whatever the big event is, it's an event town, excuse me, not entertainment town.
Right.
Vegas is kind of like that. There's a lot going on in Vegas.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people coming in and out. So, like, anyone who is at, like, a bachelor party or whatever, they're just going to go, oh, like, who are the Knights playing or who are whatever the basketball team is playing. I think more than the A's probably for, like, that type of crowd.
Yes. I think those people, and this is fine, but our basketball is flashier than baseball is.
Yeah.
So, I think that's going to be good. And hockey, I think, is a great sport for people that aren't really into sports because, you know, you might get a fight. People are getting thrown into the walls and stuff. It's hard for me because I can't really see the puck. Now, I do love hockey every 4 years in the Olympics.
Huge hockey fan.
Every 4 years, it's my favorite sport.
I am diehard hockey fan during the Olympics.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, they don't even actually have NHL players anymore, right?
No, they don't, which is really disappointing.
Dumb. Yeah. Really dumb. Because that was like the one interest and any hope I think I had of being an NHL fan is like, oh, I know. Like, I used to know who TJ Oshie played for.
Right.
I don't even know if he's still in the league anymore.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that name sounds familiar, but I'd forgotten. So
now if I'm watching a bunch of, like, amateurs play, it's like, well, this doesn't matter as much. But if it was, like, Sidney Crosby versus, I don't know why TJ Oshie sticks out to me.
Yeah, no, but I still remember that year in that game.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, like, if they want to attract fans, then they need to be sending players to the Olympics.
I agree, 100%. Maybe they just feel like they're fine with the market share, because hockey fans are committed.
That's true, yeah. But, I mean, what business person have you ever heard of that's like, this is enough for me?
I don't know.
No, if they are, it's a very healthy attitude, and I would praise them. But I just don't think that's what's going on.
Maybe. Well, I don't know why they wouldn't. Because even soccer, like, had a break for the World Cup, like, and your hockey's not bigger than soccer. Maybe
for sure, yeah.
In North America it is, in like certain parts of it, obviously.
Right, yeah.
But like if the Premier League can go on break for the World Cup, then I think hockey can send people to the Olympics.
I totally agree. Yeah. So we're gonna be having that. We're gonna, you know, have a few Olympic episodes coming up it'll be a couple of years because we're doing
Paris,
and so it'll be Summer Olympics.
So. Yeah, so we're doing we're doing Copa America's in 24, right?
Copa America's in 24.
Euro's in 24. Italy's qualified for that.
Now, did you hear opening match of Copa America going to be in Atlanta, and the final match will be in Miami because I'm sure they're anticipating that Argentina will get to the final.
Makes sense. So. Why Atlanta's? Because they have a big stadium? Reason it's like their opening one?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think that Atlanta was a real game changer for MLS in terms of their stadium and what they invested. And it's kind of a bummer they're not good anymore, because I think they're a very important team in the history of the league. And so maybe they just recognize, hey, we're going to get a lot of people. They love soccer in Atlanta, so we'll definitely do that. Maybe they're throwing them a bone for how much they invested. I don't know. But,
you know, there's a – I don't think it's massive either way, but there's a decent segment of Newcastle fans in Atlanta because Miguel Almirón went to Newcastle. And I think vice versa, if Newcastle fans, like, a lot of them would say Atlanta is because – Almirón played for them, and they don't care about anything else going on in the league.
Sure. So yeah, that's cool. Almirón is an excellent soccer player. He's really fun to watch. And very one of the reasons, you know, any games that Paraguay wins in World Cup qualifying is really just Miguel Almirón.
Those Atlanta teams with him and – because him and Jose Martinez played together, right?
Yes. Yeah.
They were very good.
Yes, no, yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Almirón was kind of the reason that Martinez led the league in goals when he did. It's just because he set him up so well. And so yeah, bummer for Martinez that he left, because Atlanta just have not been able to find a replacement ever since.
No, their coach is, am I right, the coach is now coaching Miami?
Yeah, I don't know. He was definitely at Atlanta, but I don't have it in my head exactly when he was at Atlanta. But yeah, Tata Martino.
Now, Phil Neville, not to go on an MLS coaching rant, but Phil Neville is now in Portland.
Good for Phil.
Gary's little bro, or big bro, Gary's brother.
Yeah. He just likes in America, I guess.
I guess, yeah. Because wasn't he the coach of the U.S. or the England women's team before going to Miami?
That sounds familiar. I would need to look it up.
That's what I think. I wonder how much, because I've heard, like, Gino Auriemma and, like, women's basketball versus men's basketball is, like, a super different game. Sure. I know it's the same for soccer, but it'd be interesting to, like, hear someone who's coached both.
Yeah, like, why is it different?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Well, we'll have to see if we can get him on.
I'll DM him. See if I can get him. Maybe, yeah, I was going to say DMing David Beckham's a waste of time. I know DMing Phil's a waste of time, but like David Beckham's like an actual waste of time.
Right, yeah.
Now, football-wise, should we talk Thanksgiving games tomorrow? College rivalry games? What do you want to start with? We'll do both.
Let's start with the college rivalries. I think that's fun.
So, well, let's start with Michigan-Ohio State then, because that's a massive one.
That's, yeah, the first rivalry.
Now, I've been on Michigan, as you know, as any listener knows, since March, I think, was when I, on this show, I realized, like, I'm going to pick Michigan. And, like, I talked through J.J. McCarthy. They had what I thought was the best offensive line, the best running backs. I just thought they were going to be the best team. And I held that opinion until the Maryland game. When combined with Georgia just looked phenomenal against Ole Miss and Tennessee. They're really hitting their stride. Michigan looked a little out of sorts. Now, the Penn State game, I think they were running it by choice in those 32 straight runs just because they, you know, wanted to put their foot on the throat. But Maryland, they weren't doing that. It wasn't like we're doing this because we can. It felt more like our offense is kind of shut down. Their left tackle got hurt, so they had to shuffle some things around, and that limited them substantially. If their offensive line is set against Ohio State, I think they'll be fine. If not, I think they'll be in trouble. Now, I still don't trust Kyle McCord, even though he did have a good game last week and has been playing a little bit better. Ohio State does have the best receiving room in the country, including the best player in the country, though. And their defense is awesome as well. So, yeah. I don't know what the over-under is. I think I would hit the under. Let's just check what it is, though. But I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it could be like a 21-17, 27-24 type game. Let's see. Michigan, Ohio State. Over-under is 46. So Vegas thinks it'll be like 23-20 or whatever, too.
Yeah.
So that actually seems low, saying it that way. Uh-huh. But
yeah, well, because college games typically are more high-scoring like that. I think we would normally expect Michigan, Ohio State. you know, to be, you know, 35-42 or something like that.
The over-under for the Kansas City-Philadelphia game was, I think, 46 or 47.
Yeah.
For context. And Washington's had some games that are in, like, the 70s for over-unders.
Right, yeah. So. Well, and that's just because, well, we talk about Texas high school football, all those games are crazy high scoring because every single good player plays offense. And I think college is a little bit similar to that in that the best players are usually going to play offense, probably because that's what they played in high school. But then by the time you get to the NFL, everybody is just super good and
it's filtered out.
Yeah, that's kind of the first league where like good players get put on defense because you have enough good players.
Yeah.
So,
Who do you think will win that Michigan Ohio State game?
I don't know. I mean, I've been listening to you. Tell me how good Michigan is all year. So I'm inclined to say Michigan.
I gotta stick with my gut. I just the last two years they just bullied Ohio State, right. Embarrassed them.
Yeah.
Now I think Ohio State's defense is much better than it's been, and they've been playing much less aggressive. Like last year, they played cover zero, especially in the Michigan game where they didn't have any safety help, and Michigan hit them with some big plays. I don't think Michigan's gonna do that this year. So if the offensive line is set, I do think Michigan, even though Ohio State's defensive line is really good, I think Michigan will be able to control the game. And I don't think Kyle McCord's going to be able to get much done against. And it's in Ann Arbor.
Right. Yeah, that's a problem. Well, and because Ohio State does have the best player, Marvin Harrison, but that's only going to matter if the quarterback can get him the ball, which yeah. I'm concerned about with Michigan's defense.
I think, yeah, Michigan's going to figure out a way. And also, as far as, like, the Harbaugh stuff, because we talked about this last couple weeks, so we won't, like, harp on it. But Joe Klatt pointed out on his podcast, like, it's kind of just the norm for Michigan. This will be the sixth game that they haven't had a Harbaugh on the sideline. Like, it's not something, some crazy, that's just what it is for them at right. this point.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be fine. Other rivalry games, one of my favorite rivalry games, Thursday night, Ole Miss versus Mississippi State. Not a ton of national significance unless, like, Ole Miss loses because they still have a good shot at a New Year's Six Bowl. But it's just a fun game.
Yeah.
It's a game where Elijah Moore did the peeing dog celebration.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Matt, the quarterback from Ole Miss a few years ago, got in a fight with one of the defensive linemen from Mississippi State. I think it was definitely like a linebacker defense. It's awesome.
Right.
So that game's Thursday night. That's probably, I mean, I'm not going to watch it because it's at the same time as the Niners game. Maybe I'll have it on my laptop or something, but that's a super fun game. Oregon State. That's what I wanted to talk about. And we'll circle back to a lot of these in my picks, not to foreshadow that too much. But last year, Oregon, unless I'm missing something, if Oregon would have beat Oregon State, they would have gone to the Pac-12 championship to play USC. They just collapsed in the second half, in the fourth quarter of that game. And when Oklahoma played Texas, we talked about how Oklahoma had the year before lost 49-0, and that's all they thought about the entire year was beating Texas and getting revenge for that game. Dan Lanning is not underselling this. He's came out and said this Oregon State game is our Super Bowl. He has not let him forget the collapse. Personally, like in high school, we played a school called Alton. They just destroyed us, including in the playoffs. So they beat us two times that year. Most off seasons, the focus was like, oh, let's win a state championship, which is all well and good. But that going into my senior year, the year after that, it was just beat Alton because that was the first game on the schedule again. We did beat them. It was a close game. We didn't kill them. But just to point out, like, when teams have this, like, focus, like Oklahoma did, like we did, like, I think Oregon's going to have. And I think Oregon State's a really good team, but I think Oregon's going to come out fired up and rolling. It's also in Autzen as well.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to watch it. I don't think it's going to be close, but I am excited to watch it.
No, it should be fun. And it's a bummer because this, you know, Oregon State is really, really good this year. And I think that they don't have that revenge mentality. You know, not for last year, although they may have it for years and years of abuse from Oregon, just all those years they've lost to them. And I think it'd be fun. I'm going to pick Oregon State just for fun.
Win outright.
Yeah, just to win outright. I think they're a really, really good team. They've got I don't have the name written in front of me, but Uyelungalale.
DJ Uyelungalale. Yeah, his little brother plays for Oregon.
Oh, is he a starting quarterback?
He's a defensive end.
Defensive end.
So okay, edge player, yeah.
Oh, well, that's fun.
He's very good.
That's even more fun, yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I think that they saw what Oklahoma State did a few weeks ago and are going to say, that looks fun. We're going to do that.
Beating Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Sending them off to the Big Ten. Now, Washington and Washington State rescheduled the Apple Cup. Civil War has not been scheduled yet for the future.
Yeah.
Hope it gets done. I think people want it to get done. But as of right now, this is the last one.
Yeah. And this is the problem with, or why I hate all of these realignments with the conferences and stuff. It's obviously terrible for the athletes having to fly that distance. But, like, these rivalry games are so much fun. And I think that's what makes college sports college sports. And I think when people are afraid of, you know, paying the athletes and why that might make sports feel different. The rivalries are something you can look at and see, hey, these players are still making money. Oklahoma still hates the guts out of Texas and Oklahoma State and stuff. And
that meant a lot to Oklahoma.
Absolutely, yeah. And you even see that in the professional leagues, like how rivalries still exist and how the teams still hate each other and everything. And I just think that it's so important that we have those in college sports, and that's kind of what makes it unique. And so, yeah, I absolutely hope they keep Oregon State keep rescheduling each other, and you know, maybe Oklahoma State figure out a way that they can do it too. But
we've lost some great games. Now, these ones I'm about to say aren't like massive, but like Kansas Missouri was an awesome rivalry. Colorado Nebraska we've talked about on the show.
Yeah.
Michigan Ohio State, that has it. That's with Notre Dame joining the ACC, kind of. They've had less schedule flexibility to schedule Michigan.
Right.
And then scheduling Ohio State was kind of a middle finger to Michigan as well. But, like, just play who you're supposed to play.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, Michigan-Notre Dame was so much fun. And then, yeah, BYU-Utah is going to be – and I think it's – like, it just didn't feel the same when we weren't in the same conference. I feel like being in the conference and with Utah and, you know – the game potentially having implications for who goes to the Big 12 championship, although it's going to take BYU a little while to get to that level. Yeah, it's just going to mean so much more. I feel like people didn't really care these last 10 years or whatever it was that we weren't in the same conference.
Yeah. No, it matters when it's the last game of the year and it means something.
Mm-hmm.
It matters quite a bit. Now, as far as Oregon goes, Dan Lanning, I just want to take another jab at Texas A&M.
Let's go for it.
Is my leeway for this. So,
yeah.
Dan Lanning, a lot of people said, I think, would be a great, probably the best candidate for the Texas A&M job. He turned it down right away. Loves being at Oregon, wants to be at Oregon. And that's something, like, your players want to hear, too. Washington's coach came out when asked about the Texas A&M job and gave some, like, rambling non-answer. Dabo gave a non-answer. Even, like, Coach Prime gave a non-answer. Lanning was like, no, I'm in Oregon. I'm not going anywhere, which if he does go anywhere, there's a lot of egg on his face. So I think he is not going anywhere. And his players came out and like, we love hearing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dan Lanning is awesome.
Right. Well, yeah. And like to your point about Dion, there was a big 4-star, 5-star recruit that decommitted from Colorado. He's just like, hey, if I want to play for Dion and I don't know that he's going to be a Colorado, why am I going to commit?
Exactly. Exactly. This week, I think this was a couple days ago, this is the 20th, Texas A&M Athletic Director Ross Bjork on Texas A&M's vacancy. This is not an 8-4 job. You win the national championship, you'll get paid like a national championship coach. Texas A&M last claimed a national championship in 1939.
So, during World War II.
Yeah, Hitler had, like, just invaded Poland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. So, it wasn't quite like, you know, you... Did you end up writing that article about college football in World War II?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It was like that. So, it wasn't like, you know, all the best football players were at war. So, it wouldn't have been quite like that. But still, you know, that's a real long time ago.
It's like 90 years ago, almost.
Yeah. That's so long ago.
Their last conference title was in 97... Or 98, excuse me, 98. They've won 3 division titles. Now, that's not that important just because divisions are relatively recent. Until you see the last one they won was in 2010 in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. They've never even been the best team in their own division. Yet they expect to get a national championship coach. Scott Foster just gave Chris Paul a technical. What did Chris Paul do to Scott Foster?
I have no idea. Like, and it seems like the NBA is intent. I mean, I guess I know there's only so many refs. He just
kicked him out.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, Chris Paul's good. No, let him. If he got kicked out, let him yell at him.
Might as well, right?
Steph just had to hold him back.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
I want to see a player in a ref fight. Oh, I truly do.
It just seems like the NBA could schedule Scott Foster to not have Chris Paul, you know, in nationally televised games.
It's just because we knew this was going to happen, right?
Right.
Like, the second I saw Scott Foster's life, I know who Scott Foster is. I think Steve Kerr's got a technical. Should I know who a ref is? Like,
yeah, ideally you do not.
I know more NBA refs. And like, NFL refs I recognize. Ed Hockley, I like knew who he was. But Scott Foster has a reputation.
Yeah, no, it seems like the NBA really, really likes Scott Foster and respects him a lot. And it seems like all the players hate him.
What did, okay, they're show. I know this isn't great podcasting, but oh, they didn't even show what he did. It's got to be frustrating for Chris Paul. Oh, they just called a foul on, like, one of those, like, rip-through. Yeah. Kitty had, like, a rip-through prey, and I guess Kitty wasn't thrilled about that. Or Chris Paul wasn't Chris thrilled Paul about wasn't that. Thrilled,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Texas A&M, why would you win? Why would you expect to win the national championship? You haven't had any success. What was your most successful season? Like, you beat Alabama 1 year. Technically twice, but like one real year.
Yeah.
You won the Orange Bowl.
Okay.
I think 2020.
That's recent.
It's a big deal. That's a great, great job. Good for you. That's once. You know, I mean, like, why? And it's, if you look at it from the view of it's in Texas, you make a lot of money, and then you get fired and you make a lot of money to not do anything. It's probably the best job in the country.
Absolutely,
yeah. In that sense.
Right. Because, again, Jimbo Fisher is going to be making all of that money regardless of whether he gets another job.
Yeah.
So he can get another job and they can pay him as much as he wants.
I don't know why he would get another job.
Yeah, why? He's making $20,000 a day.
I would just sit on a beach.
Yeah.
Like, coaching is hard.
It's so hard. Yeah, it's exhausting. And
calling 17-year-olds all day, that doesn't seem fun.
Yeah, no, it's so much. Because it's, you know, as far, because of all the recruiting, being a college coach takes way more time than an NFL coach, it's right?
Yeah, 100%.
Or at least you have to do more things. NFL coaches probably spend the same amount of time doing stuff.
Well, yeah, NFL coaches are like in the office all day. When the Bears, I know we talked about this, but when Ryan Poles was like, yeah, I've been like sleeping in the office, putting in 60-hour weeks. Like, you do not have to sleep in the office unless you're working like 3 days a week.
Yeah, to do 60-hour weeks like that. It's a lot, but it's not that much.
No, but no, NFL coaches, literally, they're doing like 80, 100 hours, whatever. But college coaches, like, and people are even complaining about this. Like, Mike Elko and Jim Moore have been complaining, like, pretty soon, like, the transfer portal's open. Like, Mac Brown said agents are already calling his players, and, like, some players are even calling, like, other schools about going there.
Uh-huh.
Like, college coaches have to recruit 16-year-olds. USC's quarterback commit is a sophomore this year. Like, so they got to deal with him for 3 years. He just went on an Ohio State visit. Plus, you got to recruit your own guys. So you have 90 to 100 guys on your team, roughly. 85 scholarship players, we'll say 85. Plus, you got a class of about 20 kids coming in, high school kids.
Uh-huh.
So, and there's a lot more you're recruiting. Plus, you got to recruit your own players. You got to have people looking at other schools to bring players in.
Yeah.
It's so much, like, not football stuff. And I know recruiting is football, but it's not football.
No. It's not the plays. It's not the strategy. And, you know, with that math, considering all those extra kids and everybody from transfer portal and stuff, that's 200 kids you have to be recruiting every year.
Last year, there were, I think, like 8,000 kids in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
I might be wrong, because that seems too high.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked.
Don't actually quote me on that. That seems like it can't be that high.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
Well, I guess if there's like, so there's 130. Let me just do the math there. So 85 times 131.
While you're doing the math, I think I don't remember.
Yeah, there's 11,000 athletes.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned this to on the podcast or not, but this is why if the colleges paid the athletes, they could have the athletes sign a, I don't know, a $30,000 contract for 3 years. And then they have to stay for 3 years, but they're getting paid.
You can graduate in 3 years.
And you wouldn't have all that, all this transfer nonsense.
Yeah.
It would be better for everybody.
It would. Yeah, NIL, like, it's great, but it also people have really taken the foot off the gas of, like, they should be getting some of this $50 million a year that Big Ten schools are getting.
Right, yeah. Well, and you even have who is the coach that's that called out their fans for not investing enough in NIL?
A lot of them. I think Jim Mora was the most recent.
Jim Mora is a special.
He's at UConn.
Yeah, but see, and this one is like, it's okay, it's not about sponsorships anymore. This is not sponsorships. It is the school paying the athletes unofficially is what NIL has become.
Yeah. It's just funding to keep your players.
Right. Yeah, it's
and getting like a coach making millions of dollars getting on like fans for not donating enough. I know it's frustrating. Like Stoops, when Kentucky lost to Georgia, he's like, "Well, if you people want to complain, like they're buying all their players, so chip in." Yeah. Like I get this why it's frustrating, but you're also at Kentucky and Connecticut. Like understand what's going to happen.
Yeah, why does he think that people at UConn care about the football?
I don't know. Like at UConn, it's. I would say for the best, the third sport, both men's and women's basketball are ahead of it.
For sure.
Actually, like kind of good baseball program. I might think baseball's ahead of football without knowing anything about UConn, like the demographics there.
Yeah, no, I could see that. Yeah, it does seem like it could be a baseball play. So I don't know.
Luca's mustache is not good.
Yeah. Well, no, nobody's mustache is good, but yeah, I don't like that.
Looks like a 70s cop or something, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as far as, like, jobs, I think Mark Stoops at Kentucky has a better job than Texas A&M. Like, he can go 8-4, and yeah, not everyone's going to be thrilled, but he's not going to lose his job for not winning a national championship.
Right, yeah. Because it's just, yeah, you're Kentucky, and that's okay.
Yeah. It's I honestly, if I got offered the A&M the Kentucky job and I was not trying to just make as much money as I could, if that wasn't the number one goal, I'd go to Kentucky. Yeah. I'd be a much better quality of life in the sense that I wouldn't be having people tell me I'm going to get fired all the time. And you can go 8-4, 9-3 at Kentucky. Like, you can recruit good players.
For sure.
You're not going to beat Georgia and Florida every single year. They've beaten Florida 3 out of 4 years.
That's pretty good.
I haven't beaten Georgia, but you know what I mean? Like, you can be happy in Kentucky. And Mark Stoops, I think, is happy.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, that's good for him find a job where you can just kind of, you know, not chill, but it's not going to be the end of the world if you lose a football game.
Now, let me ask you this before we talk about NFL, because this I think football rankings, there weren't a lot of changes there, but Florida State quarterback Jordan Travis got hurt. Let's say, just to make it easy, we'll say Georgia wins the SEC. We'll say Michigan, but either Ohio State or Michigan win the Big Ten. We'll say Washington. We'll just make it as simple as possible. Washington wins the Pac-12. Texas wins the Big 12, and Florida State goes undefeated, wins the ACC. But they barely beat Florida, squeak past Louisville, because Jordan Travis is out in their backup quarterback. Do you think Florida State would get in that scenario?
I don't know. It's tough.
Because the comp everyone's bringing up is Ohio State in 2014 when they should. I don't think they should have gotten in. We both think TCU should have.
Absolutely, yeah.
But the reason they got in is because Cardale Jones, you know, they won the Big Ten championship 59-0.
Right.
So they showed the committee, like, even with Cardale Jones, we can still roll. And they ended up winning the national championship, which doesn't mean that they should have gotten in. I will die
Yeah. Well, and what's because who at Ohio, do you remember who Ohio State lost to that year?
I think it was Virginia Tech in like the third game of the year.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's yeah, TCU definitely should have gone that year. I think Florida State, I think they have to go undefeated to get in. Now, I think if they do go undefeated, you can't keep them out. But I think if they lose, it's like, oh, they're not as good without.
But what if they, because Florida's not very good. What if they beat Florida as like 27-24 or something like that? Mm-hmm. And then just squeak by Louisville. Who, man, if Louisville wouldn't have lost to Pitt, they'd be undefeated with a chance to play Florida State's backup quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know.
They got to be kicking themselves for that game.
They really do, yeah.
I agree that it sucks, but if it's the best four teams, Texas is, I don't think anyone would say Texas would lose to a Florida State without, now Tate Rodemaker, the backup, I think is all right, and I think Florida State will win both those games still.
Yeah.
But there is a chance they get left out, and it's just going to suck.
It would suck, yeah. And Washington, I know they do look really good, and if they do win out, I think they're kind of,
you have to put them in if they went out, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I think it'd be between Florida State and Texas in that scenario.
Yeah. Because Michigan or Ohio State is going to lose to the other one.
Yeah.
So it's going to be.
Now, hypothetically, they could put, I don't think it's going to happen, but last year Ohio State lost and still got in the playoff. I think because there's so much competition, like Alabama's, in our scenario, Alabama loses, so it'd be down to 7. I think you'd have to put an undefeated Florida State in over the loser of the Michigan-Ohio State game, even if we think they're better. Yeah. But I also think the best team should get in. So I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah. It.
I think Florida State's going to get screwed.
You think they will?
I think they'll get left out.
Yeah.
Like, I think if Alabama beats Georgia, then Alabama's going to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to put Texas in, so Texas is going to go.
Uh-huh.
So in that scenario, it'd be Alabama, Texas, Michigan, and the Pac-12 champ, I think, assuming there's no chaos.
Right.
But then they could say, well, Georgia deserves to get in. But you can't put Texas, Alabama in and not put Texas in.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense to me. I agree.
Like, I'm worried. That's what I'm actually more worried about than Florida State is Texas getting left behind and Alabama going in.
Yeah, that it would be absolutely crazy to leave Texas out.
It'd be unbelievable. Like, I don't think they can't do it, right? Like, they won in Tuscaloosa. And the Alabama fans are like, oh, they're different teams. Alabama's playing better. Why do we have the season start in August if it's not going
to
matter?
Yeah, it has to matter.
No, there's still games. Like, it's still your responsibility to beat the teams you're playing on your schedule. Like, right. It's part of the equation.
Yeah. No, I would, I'll say, so in the scenario, if I was picking, I would have Alabama, Texas, whoever wins Ohio State, Michigan. And I would put Florida State, which makes me feel like the committee is not.
Even if Washington beats Oregon again, goes on undefeated, beats Oregon again.
Oh, that's right. Washington haven't lost, have they?
They're undefeated too.
Yeah. Ooh, I don't know. Yeah, because I guess if you beat Oregon twice, that's better wins than Florida. I know Florida State's got a couple of good wins.
The logic would say it should be Texas. What you're saying, it should be Texas, Florida State, Washington, and Michigan. But there's no way the committee leaves out the SEC champ.
Yeah.
But no, based on their rankings.
And I would put the SEC champ in. You just gotta leave out an undefeated
someone's
team.
Someone's getting screwed.
You just gotta leave
it. And it's never been a problem before this year.
Right.
I think. Other than 2014.
Specifically with undefeated teams, no.
In 2014, Ohio State, Baylor, and TCU all were playoff worthy. Only Ohio State got in. I think this is the first year since then that a truly worthy team is getting left out.
Yeah. I mean, we don't need to hash out this. I think that we need more teams in the playoffs because I think all these teams would be playoffs.
A good year for it.
Yeah. This is a good year to make the argument because there's going to be somebody who, like, deserves a shot, you know? And, like, I think there's a lot of, like, I think, you know, Alabama deserves a shot this year.
Oh, they've been. I've been saying I think Jalen Milroe should get Heisman consideration.
Yeah,
which I never thought I'd say. I didn't even think he should be a starter this year.
Yeah,
he's been awesome. Alabama's been. They have been a better team,
which is crazy.
So I'm not saying that's not true.
Yeah, no, but it is crazy to, you know, say someone's Heisman worthy to discussion when they hadn't won the job at the start of the season.
It is crazy. But yeah, no, Alabama, Missouri's been pretty good as well. And like that, if let's just say there were the 12-team playoffs, so we're looking at the 11th spot, like Louisville, Penn State, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, all of those teams would be entertaining to watch play like Oregon or Ohio State or something like that.
Yeah, and like I don't think they'd win necessarily, but you know.
Be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for sure, I don't think there's a way both Florida State and Texas get in. So one or both of them I think are going to get screwed. Now, if they lose, that's not getting screwed. But if they went out, both of them went out, yeah. I don't think they both get in, which would suck.
Well, it feels like it's going to be one spot for them and Washington. Well, it sounds like you think Washington has a spot pretty much no matter what if they went out.
I actually think Oregon is better and is going to win. I think Oregon's the third best team in the country.
Okay.
But I can't rank Oregon ahead of Washington because Washington won the game.
So now if Oregon wins, though, do you put them in ahead of Texas or Florida State?
I would, because I think Oregon's better than both those teams.
Yeah.
So let's say Oregon does win. So does Georgia win in this scenario or Alabama?
Let's say Alabama because it makes it more complicated.
Okay. So Michigan's in. They win the Big Ten. Oregon's in. They win the Pac-12. Alabama's in to win the SEC. Yeah, and then Texas, Florida State gets screwed.
Texas, Florida State, one of those teams, yeah.
I think until last week it was Michigan, Georgia, Oregon. Now I think it's Georgia, Michigan, Oregon. I don't have Oregon ranked third in my rankings because, again, you have to respect the Washington game.
Right.
Oregon is on a roll, though. I love Dan Lanning. Bo Nix is awesome. They're team's awesome. Tony Franklin's an awesome receiver. Bucky Irving's a super fun running back. Defense is cool. Anyway, yeah. So that's what I would do. I think Oregon's the third best team in the country. I expect them to beat Washington. I think they'll be in the playoff.
Okay.
I think Florida State's getting left out.
Yeah. It is starting to feel like that.
I think Florida State wants Georgia to win and Washington to win and Texas to get like upset by Texas Tech or in the Big 12 championship.
Yeah.
I think Florida State wants it as little chaotic as possible.
Yeah.
Cause there's a chance Alabama and Georgia go if Alabama wins, which I understand.
I could see them doing that for sure.
But there's a world. So Georgia, Alabama, let's say Pac-12 champ, let's say Washington and Michigan. So Florida State and the Big Ten 12 champ would get screwed in that scenario.
Uh-huh.
That might be the most likely scenario. Well, no, it's not the most likely because Alabama has to beat Georgia for that to happen.
Right.
Crazy, crazy couple weeks.
It's good. Yeah, a lot of fun stuff happening.
Now, in the preseason, my big Pac-12 champ prediction was Oregon. Big 12 was Texas Tech, so that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Big 10 was Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
ACC was Florida State. SEC was Alabama. So 3.5 of those I feel great about.
Uh-huh.
Alabama is the half one.
Right.
Florida State I feel good, especially if Jordan Travis isn't hurt. Oregon I feel good about. Michigan I still feel good about. Texas Tech I was just completely off base.
Yeah, just.
I don't know what happened
there. Happens to the best of us.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So let me think. Who would our playoff picks have been? I can try to look it up. So in that, I would have picked Michigan, Oregon, Alabama, and probably Florida State to go to the playoff in that scenario.
Let me think. I would have just looking at it. I feel like I would have gone Michigan, Georgia. I often like Florida State, so I bet I picked Florida State, and then.
I was between Florida State and Clemson. I just went with Florida State.
Yeah, I don't think I would have picked a big. I don't think I would have picked a Big 12 school. So maybe I said Tech. I bet I said Georgia and Alabama is what I said.
Very possible. We just looked it up.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, let's do that. What time are we at? We've gone 50 minutes. Let's do the Thanksgiving games. We'll talk about the Eagles game real quick. Then we'll do the college picks. Then we'll do the draft.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Eagles won. Beat the Chiefs.
It was great.
Happy for you.
So, yeah. Great game. Came back from behind, which is awesome to see. You know, new safety we got from the trade, got an interception, Byard. So, yeah. Great game. I will say I'm not as confident as I would like to be, given that, you know, certainly one dropped pass that gets caught, or maybe even if that one can still get dropped, that you get two or three others that are caught. Travis Kelce doesn't fumble in the red zone. The Chiefs lost more than the Eagles won.
That's what football is, though. Losing is a big part of football.
Right, but I don't, when we see them in the Super Bowl, I don't think that's going to happen again.
That is looking likely. I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about that.
Things are going great so far, and I don't want to jinx anything, but I feel pretty happy with how
now, my out. Speaking of picks, my Bengals pick is not going to happen. RIP to Joe Burrow.
Yeah, poor guy.
Ravens look really good.
Ravens do look
good. Obviously, the Chiefs are good still.
Yeah.
Trying to think. I don't know how much it would take for me to pick anyone besides the Ravens or the Chiefs. Not picking the Bills. Not picking the Dolphins.
No, yeah, I don't feel... Yeah, Dolphins just haven't been able to be good teams.
Houston looks... I mean, they're not Super Bowl contenders, but CJ Stroud is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that.
He's a gamer. He's dialed in.
Yeah, good for him. So he looks good. So, yeah, Texans being good in a couple of years, that'll be interesting.
I'm excited. I mean, not because I'm a Houston fan, but just because I have CJ Stroud on my dynasty team.
Yeah, that's fun.
Thanksgiving for the Lions, first time in 30 years that they've been in first place, on Thanksgiving in their division.
Considering that every year in the NFL there is one team that goes from last in the division to first in the NFL, first in the division, that is shocking. That they haven't been in first place.
Never been them.
In 30 years. That's astounding.
It's super depressing. So good for them.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell, what a guy. He's got to be Coach of the Year candidate. Him or D'Amico Ryans would be my choices.
I would think so, yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, figuring out, how to get the Texans to win games is pretty astounding.
Right away, too.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like that one is more of a surprise than the Lions. I think there were a lot of people that liked the Lions last year.
I was
year,
one of them. So, yeah. Houston's bigger surprise, 100%.
Yeah, which I don't think should be everything in a Coach of the Year discussion.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah. So, good for the Lions. And Cowboys play the Commanders. Think Cowboys will probably win that. Commanders give the Eagles trouble less so for the Cowboys, unfortunately.
The Cowboys, if they're playing a bad team, I feel so confident. Except they lost Arizona.
They did lose to Arizona. But that does feel like that's the only real outlier to that so far.
But they not only win, just like crushing these teams.
Right.
But against good teams, they got housed by San Francisco. I don't think the Philly game was as close as the score.
No, I don't think so either.
It is weird.
Yeah, so it I mean, yeah, that is a very Cowboys thing to do, though, so.
Yeah. All right, here are my college picks for this week. Ready? And you helped me with these, so it's not a surprise to you. 29, 27, and 4 on the year. We're on the up and up. I want to finish strong. So Arizona minus 10.5. So they have to beat Arizona State by more than 10. They just smoked Utah.
Yeah.
Embarrassed Utah.
That's true.
Jed Fish. Fantastic. I think he'll should be the college coach of the year, just, you know, from what Arizona is.
Right.
Ole Miss minus 10. Egg Bowl, like we talked about, is awesome.
Uh-huh.
I think Lane Kiffin's going to want to embarrass Mississippi State. They got a lot going on with their fired coach. I think it's going to be a fun game.
Yeah.
So I like Ole Miss there.
Cool.
Michigan minus 3.5. That one I just had to pick. I thought about picking another game, but I was like, I've been talking about Michigan so much, I have to pick Michigan there.
Yeah.
So Iowa plus 2.5. And we talked about, this is one we talked about the most. I don't see how that game is like, I don't think any team can win by a touchdown or win by 4 points. So I think it's going to be like a 1 point, 2 point, a 3 point win either way.
Uh huh.
So 5 out of 6 outcomes, Iowa is good in that scenario.
Yeah.
So I like my chances. That's 83%.
That's a good chance.
And then Oregon minus 13.5. We already talked about it. Uh-huh. You're going the opposite.
Yeah, just for, I don't know, Oregon State. I know they lost, you know, didn't get killed, but a pretty significant loss last week. But they've had a really good year. You know, best year Oregon State's had in a very, very long time. So maybe they just got a little bit of magic left in them.
Now, if you bet, I know you're not a gambling person, but if you bet $10 on Oregon State to win, you'd win $400.
That's a lot for not a lot of money.
Did I do that right? No, you win $40. It's
okay.
I'm sorry, I did the math wrong.
Yeah.
So if you bet $100, you'd win $400.
Okay.
That's still pretty good though. That's $40 for $10.
Yeah, that is a good payout for sure.
Yeah.
That makes me feel like Oregon State's probably going to lose though, because the odds are so stacked against
them. Oregon's favored by 2 touchdowns, basically.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
But that's what's tough about teams like Oregon is, like, they're so good that the number is so big. Or, like, San Francisco. Remember, like, I bet on San Francisco minus 13.5 last week against the Buccaneers.
Uh-huh.
And they kicked a field goal in the second quarter, and I was like, that's it. I'm not going to cover. Just because, like, it was the way the math was going to work out.
Because it just messes up, everything. Yeah, betting's a hard. Well, just like in a sport, Pablo Torre said this. Shout out to Pablo. But in a sport where the ball is oblong, it seems crazy to bet on it.
Yeah,
you know, like just so many random things could happen. And like with the another thing a couple years ago is we talked a lot about Golden State Houston Rockets. This was 73-9 year, and I did a big thing about how the Rockets were going to beat them in the series. And then in the last game, the Rockets missed 27 threes in a row. And I don't think that I was wrong. It's just like stuff happens, you know?
It's honestly, Roy Williams said this, but he's Roy Williams said this week, like, everything looks better when the ball's going in the net. Like, so much of basketball is just, like, if you're shooting well.
Yes.
I know it's an oversimplification, but it's also not an oversimplification.
Right.
Like, everything is just, like, if you're not shooting well, it's not going to happen.
Then you can't do much, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was unfortunate for you.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't bet on it, so it was okay.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really a Rockets or a Warriors fan.
I think the Rockets might be my least favorite team.
Even with James Harden gone?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like them before because the Jazz played them in the playoffs, all those with like Tracy McGrady and stuff.
Yes, those were. It did seem like we played them 3 or 4 years in a row.
That's the Jazz most common playoff opponent, is Houston. And I think, I might be wrong, but I think that's same for Houston. Is the Jazz the most common? And,
well, player. Yeah. I mean, there was, you know, at least 2 years in the Stockton Malone era where we played the Rockets.
John Stockton shot is awesome.
Yeah, and then recently there were 2 years with Donovan Mitchell where we played the Rockets.
Those were so frustrating. So
it does seem like we always end up going against the Rockets.
Yeah, kind of spurts of 2 years back-to-back.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Darren Williams, Carlos Boozer, we played him 2 years in a row in the first round.
For sure, yeah.
Won both of those. Appreciate everybody listening. Happy Thanksgiving. Oh, no, it's not over. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say. Jake's ready to go to bed.
I'm so tired.
Jake's very tired.
We got to do our Thanksgiving draft, though. Yeah. Every sports media person is doing this, so we got to as well.
Yeah, so we might as well.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to write down. I'll keep track of it.
Cool.
Do you want to go snake or just every other?
Let's we can go every other. I think that'll be okay.
Yeah. You want to go first?
Sure.
This is Thanksgiving food is what we're doing.
This Thanksgiving food? Yeah. Okay.
We'll do sides because turkey's kind of a tough one.
Okay, so.
So, like, we won't make someone use a pick on turkey.
Okay, so yeah, we both just get turkey.
Both get turkey.
Okay, I think that's fair. In that case, for the number one pick, I'm going gravy.
Okay.
Because you use it with so many things.
Okay.
Put on stuffing, put on potatoes. I'm going gravy.
For that same reason, I'm going rolls.
Oh, rolls is really good.
Yeah.
Rolls is really good.
You can't have a sandwich without a roll.
That's true, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I think I got to go. I don't know. I mean, I personally really, really like sweet potatoes. I think I'm going to go mashed potatoes, though, specifically Mom's mashed potatoes that are chunky that she leaves the skin on. Mom makes the best mashed potatoes in the world. Shout out, Mom. So.
It sounds like you're saying Ma, like M-A.
Oh, I'm saying Mom.
It sounds like Ma. Ma's mashed potatoes.
Yeah, just slide into it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm similar thing. I'm going stuffing.
Okay.
Well, got to get that off the board. Yeah. Dressing if you're in the South.
Yeah.
Stuffing if you're in Utah. I think most of the country. Because it's stuffed. Mm. It's stuffed in the turkey.
Yeah.
Because I saw someone in the South be like, stuffing is something that's stuffed in. It's like, yeah, that's what stuffing is. That's in the turkey.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Most people don't do that, but that's where it came from. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Cool. Now, we'll say, are these... now, we in our family traditionally have not had mac and cheese, but it is a Thanksgiving food. So are you only doing foods that we typically eat on Thanksgiving?
No, or? You can pick that.
I think I'm going to pick mac and cheese. Okay,
I was going to pick that next. Okay. I was hoping you wouldn't pick that.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I am going to go mac and cheese.
I suggested making that, and our little brother kind of shot it down.
Oh, really? He wasn't into it?
Which I think is dumb. I don't see why we don't do mac and cheese. Maybe Sunday at or just me and mom.
Yeah, you should just... done it anyway.
Yeah.
So, oh well.
Okay, so mac and cheese. That kind of throws me through a loop here. I will... I don't want to get made fun of. I'm thinking of foods that people will get made fun of for picking. I got two left, right? Three left. Shoot. Okay, I'm going to go... I'll go pumpkin pie.
Ooh, okay.
I'll get that off the board.
Okay.
Does that count?
Yeah. No, I was thinking about doing a pie.
Okay.
So
that's just a high pick. So
yeah, no, that's a good one.
Okay.
I think
we've never been a big pecan pie family.
We never have. The only time I've ever had it was in Houston. I was with Gene and Ted for like a day, and they took me to this and Uncle Gene and Ted. They took me to this really, really good barbecue place and got some pecan pie, and it was very, very good.
I like pecans. I like pie. So.
Yeah. So how many more foods do I get?
You get two.
Okay. Perfect. There's... Ooh, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go... Wait, nobody's picked sweet potatoes yet, right? I'm going to pick sweet potatoes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I felt like there's a higher chance of you picking the pumpkin pie than sweet potatoes, so I had to...
Yeah.
Now, this one I don't think you're going to pick, but I just want to get off the board because I love it. I'm going to go cranberry sauce.
I was very close to picking cranberry sauce.
You can't have a sandwich. I love cranberry sauce on the sandwich.
Yeah. Well, and actually, the reason I was going to pick it was not necessarily for my plate. I just knew that if I'd taken the cranberry sauce... and the gravy, you would have a very dry plate going
on. That's true.
So I was going to do it more to screw you up than because I actually wanted it.
You got a lot of starches with mac and cheese and sweet potatoes and mashed potatoes. It is a lot.
I've been thinking, but it's like, I'm not, turkey's already on the plate.
Turkey's on the plate.
And I'm not going to pick green bean casserole. Sorry to anybody who likes that.
Yeah, I'm not going to pick it. I literally don't know what I'm going to pick for my last.
Starches are just so good. I'm going to say... I was never going to be picking pumpkin pie because the best pie is apple pie.
You were never going to pick pumpkin pie?
I was never going
to
pick
pumpkin pie. So that was a waste of a pick for me?
It was a waste of a pick. Sorry to tell you.
I literally just picked it because I was trying. I thought you would. Okay. You don't like pumpkin pie?
I do, but in this draft format, I don't need to. Now, tomorrow, when I can have 2, 3, 4 pieces of pie, one will be pumpkin. Actually, one of them won't because you... per my suggestion, made a pumpkin cheesecake instead of a pumpkin pie, which I think is going to be very good.
Hopefully. That's in the oven still.
Yeah.
Cheesecake is the hardest thing to make, I think. It's, like, so exact.
Yes.
You do one thing wrong, it screws it up.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to go... I honestly don't even know what I should do for my fifth one. Like, because I'm not doing a green bean thing. I guess I'll do cream corn, because I like it.
Yeah, cream corn is very, very good. I think very underrated food.
I would have picked mac. I wanted to do mac and cheese. I figured potatoes would be gone.
Yeah.
So I'm happy. So you got gravy, mashed potatoes, mac and cheese, which I thought I'd get, sweet potatoes and apple pie. I got rolls, stuffing, pumpkin pie, cranberry sauce. If I had a stuffing, turkey, cranberry sauce sandwich with some cream corn on the side and the pumpkin pie, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, you got all the sandwich stuff.
Yeah. Which is my favorite part.
Like, if you're making a leftover sandwich, it's got all of those things.
That's my favorite part. Yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm just happy with my mashed potatoes and gravy. That's a good thing for me.
I mean, mashed potatoes are good. Now, is there anything else I missed before I almost end the show again?
I don't think so. We're counting that as our top five because we each got five.
That's top five this week. Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't think so. Just happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I hope you get to eat lots of good food and spend time with family. And
I'll either be very happy or in the fetal position based on how the Niners game goes.
Yeah.
Against the Seahawks.
That'll be a fun one to watch.
Looking forward to it. Appreciate everybody listening. Again, I need to do this in the beginning, but feel free to leave a 5-star review, comment, email us, which doesn't help the numbers, but it's still nice to communicate with everybody. Social media is at MJ Double Take. Do a lot of stuff there. I need to think of new TikTok ideas since college football games are going to be over in a couple weeks. Yeah. So I'll think of something else. Appreciate everybody listening. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a good rest of your week.